Glory to God. Well, we're preaching on love. And I want to, if you have that scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, the Amplified Classic, if you get that up there, we're just going to start with this today. Because, see, we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, but the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to read this here in a different translation, of course, but there's nine what we call fruit of the Spirit, amen, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so on and so forth. Many of you know that already. And there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we want them both to operate in our lives, both to operate in the church, amen. But in the Old Testament, the priest wore little bells and pomegranates on the bottom of their robe, priestly robe, and they were staggered. There would be one bell, one pomegranate, and by the way, the bell was there so they could pull the priest out if he had sin and he entered into the holy place. Praise God for the New Testament. Amen? Hallelujah. But the bells and pomegranates were put on the symbolizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. They must be together. You cannot operate one effectively without the other. Amen? And if you put it right down to, you know, where the rubber meets the road, it's the love that does not fail. Amen? Hallelujah. And if you desire to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, you need to make sure that you demonstrate the love of God. That needs to be priority in your life. Not only in church, we have a habit of being churchy when we come to church in little angels. We know how to behave, but how are you behaving at home? Husbands and wives, how are you behaving toward one another? Amen. The Apostle Paul told the husbands, if you don't honor your wives, your prayers will be hindered. So it's the same. I believe that the prayers of the saints are hindered many times, and the power of God operating in their lives, and they're not seeing breakthrough like they need to see because they're not walking in the love of God. Hallelujah. So let's read through this quickly because this is the definition what love is, okay? Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. Amen. It's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us. Say, God's love in us. So some of this you got to walk out by faith. But God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But we control that love. We can push it aside. And really, love is not a feeling. Come on, love is not a feeling. That's why there's so many divorces, even in the churches. Because, you know, sometime or later, the honeymoon's over. And you're going to get irritated at one another. You're not squeezing the toothpaste right. You're not putting the toilet paper on right. Pastor Judy never puts the toilet paper on because she gets it backwards. So there's a right way and the wrong way for toilet paper. You know what I'm talking about. And you wake up to this woman with curlers in her hair in the morning. Not what you've seen walking down the aisle. Not Barbie doll anymore. And you're not Ken either. I had to say that. Glory to God. So we grow together. Say we grow together. Love grows. And it's not a feeling, it's a decision. So you got to make a decision to walk these things out in our life, okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. And it goes on to say, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all, hallelujah, circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't fade out or become obsolete or comes to an end. And it goes on to say prophecy will come to an end and tongues will come to an end and a lot of these things, but love is forever. Love is forever. Praise God. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now, the Apostle Paul deals a lot in the New Testament. We like faith. We like all the, you know, the righteousness message and so on and so forth. But love is the glue that holds everything together. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in almost every one of his writings to the churches, deals with behavior of the Christian. And remember, the church was pretty new at that time, not that old. The church in general. And so we had a lot of what you call baby Christians that acted after the way that they were brought up or worldly or fleshly or whatever, conducting themselves. And they would apparently bring that into the house of God or into their relationship with Christ. Amen? You beat me up, I'm going to beat you up. Okay? And so on and so forth. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, so on and so forth. But the new covenant is a little bit different. Jesus says if somebody hits you in one cheek, you turn the other. Amen. Of course, I said last week, the Bible don't say what happens after that. After the second cheek. Glory to God. Praise God. Now, you know, God doesn't want us to be walked over. We ought to stand up. Jesus was not a wimp. Remember him chasing out the money changers? He was mad. And the Bible says be angry and sin not, so we can be angry. But we know how to switch that switch of love too. Right? We don't stay angry. We take care of the situation. We address the problem. We address the issue. But we don't allow ourselves to be drowned in it. We change our focus back to the love of God. And if somebody does us wrong, we forgive, we forget, we pray for that person, we bless that person. Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you. How many people have had somebody despitefully use you? All right, so what do? We pray for them. Not that fire come down and consume them. We pray for their salvation. We pray for their peace. We forgive them. We want them blessed. Hallelujah. So all through the New Testament, the Apostle Paul weaves, and also Peter and John, they weave together how the church, that's you and I, are to behave, not just on Sunday mornings, but 7 days a week. Praise God. Okay, Ephesians 4:2, it says this in the Passion Translation, with tender humility and quiet patience, always, always, say always. Now, in the Greek, what does always mean? Always. There is no other choice but always demonstrating gentleness and generous love toward one another. I love them, but I just don't want to see them. Have you ever thought that? I love them by faith, but I don't want to be around them. Okay? But demonstrate. You cannot demonstrate love unless you're around people. That's why it's important to come to church, right? It's important not to be locked up in your house like they tried in 2020. Not seeing anybody. You can't be around anybody. See, Christianity is built around one another. We talked about the body of believers. Every one of us are participants. Every one of us is a member of one another. And we all, working together, give something to each other when we come together. Amen? Hallelujah. So it says, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience. Especially those that get under your skin. Especially those who you'd rather not see this morning. Amen. So it's pretty strong there. Always demonstrate your love. Praise God. Now, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, he's the head of the church, to agree to live in unity with one another. And again, that's not just in church, but that's at home. If you're a part of a family, if you have siblings living with you, and so on and so forth, you know how stressful it can get only if you have one bathroom. How many of you grew up with a big family with one bathroom? I was the only child, and I had my own. I was spoiled, glory to God. So when I married into Judy's family, forget it. I didn't know. I thought tribulation hit. Loud. You'd go and visit, and the uncles and aunts were there. Glory to JoJo, you know what I'm talking about, amen? You grew up in that stuff. And Johnny, what did you think when you got into the family? Same thing, huh? Heaven help me, glory to God. Our prayer life got stronger. Thank you, Jesus. But see, in our home life, it actually, whatever happens in our home life carries over to church. That's why sometimes there's oppression and junk going on in church, and there's not anointing because we fight with one another in the car on the way to church and so on and so forth. Right? Where love never fails. If we want to see people get out of wheelchairs, if we want to see the power of God demonstrated, we walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. Now, put to rest any division or divisiveness that attempts to tear you apart. Things just don't matter. Some people want to debate this. Some people want to. I've never been a debater. I will not debate. And if you have somebody that believes a little bit different and always tries to pull you into debate, say, no, I don't do that. I know whereof I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able. Hallelujah. I'm fully persuaded that Jesus is my healer. I'm fully persuaded that God is my provider. I'm fully persuaded that he's already won the victory for me. Well, you don't understand. God will make you sick. He will teach you something. No. I believe you. You can go and let God make you sick, but I'm believing that. Because yes, I'm not going to change their mind. Just waste time when you could be praying, glory to God, shouting, dancing a little bit, having a party. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, be restored as one unit or united body living in perfect harmony. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values. Hallelujah. When I was in high school and junior high also, I was in music. I played the trombone, believe it or not. I'm not windy enough to do that anymore. But, I mean, high school, my senior year, that's all I had was music. I had jazz band. I had orchestra. I had marching band. I had symphony band and everything. I was just all day long, music, music, music. But one thing that I could not stand, and those of you that play woodwinds, tuning up, you know, please, hurt your ears. And then we had to go out and do a concert. But praise God, you know, tuning up hurts sometimes. Hallelujah. But when we all got together, we created oneness. We created a symphony. We created a beautiful peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. The harmonies were together. The melodies were together. Everything was right. But it took work to get us to that point. Amen? All tuned up. Say, God wants me all tuned up. Not just at church, but at home. Hallelujah. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. It says this, be devoted. What did this being devoted mean? Let me give you the definition of that. Devote means to give up oneself. One's money, one's time, one's effort for somebody else. Devoted. Devoted for a purpose. Devoted for the kingdom. Devoted. Hallelujah. Amen. We could have not have made it 40 years in ministry unless we had devoted people. We had a lot that weren't devoted. A lot that left. A lot that got upset. So on and so forth. You need to do it this way. Or you need to. But there were some that stayed. Linda, that you saw earlier. 30-something years. Faithfulness. She's seen us when we had victory and seen us when we were struggling. And some of others are here, have been here a long time. Pastor Mike and Lori and JoJo and Johnny and others. Karen's been with us a long time. Amen. And so no matter what we're going through, hallelujah, we're devoted. That's what devotion means. It means to be loyal and faithful. Loyal and faithful. Praise God. Those are two things that we need to learn. Loyal and faithful to your job, to your workplace. How many of you have tried to go somewhere and they've been closed? I remember, a couple weeks ago taking my daughter somewhere and we wanted to go to Wendy's and I decided, well, I get tired of driving up sometime. You know, I just want to go in. So I attempted to go in. The door was locked. Wendy's. Well, that's happened more than once. Why? Because we have no help. We have no help. And it's like that almost in every area. Not enough help. People aren't, people aren't committed. People aren't devoted. Praise God. You know? Hallelujah. So it's the same thing at church. Same thing with your family. We've got to be devoted to one another. Try to outdo yourself. Outdo. Come in. That's awesome. Outdo yourselves. That means you do better today than you did yesterday in respect and honor for one another. Why was this so important to the apostle? He knew the power of the church. He knew the power of community. He knew the corporate anointing. He knew that the world could be reached with the power of God in his day. And it was. The whole known world during the disciples' lives were reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The known world, of course. Powerful. Hallelujah. So we have to get the concept of family and add the dimension of warmth, tenderness, concern, loyalty to one another. Amen. See, this is a kind of a pastoral message. Not really a shouting message, but we need to be reminded. Hallelujah. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Be free from pride-filled opinions. They will only harm your cherished unity. Think about what Paul's saying. He's talking to a church here in Philippi. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but be in authentic humility. Put others first. Say, put others first. And view others as more important than yourself. Have you been around somebody that all they talked about was them? I did this, I did that. Oh, I, you want to slap them upside the head, but that's not love. It needs to be we. We is stronger than I. Praise God. All right, now. Let's start reading that again. Hallelujah. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but be authentic, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Abandon, put them aside. Possess the greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. You can't say it any plainer than that, man. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, how many of you go and look up these scriptures because of your favorite scriptures? We don't. All these scriptures we don't even hardly know about. We might read through them real fast. We want to get to the faith and healing and prosperity, victory, amen, righteousness, all this good stuff. And I love those too, man. But, you know, this is in the Bible too. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. 1 Thessalonians. See, Paul almost hits every church. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. There is no need for anyone to say much to you about loving your fellow believers. And that's your household too. For God is continually teaching you unselfishly to unselfishly love one another. God is continually teaching you. That's what Paul is telling the church. Indeed, your love is what you're known for throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, beloved ones, to let this unselfish love increase. Say increase. See, the kingdom of God is to increase in us, amen, and flow through you more and more. So there is an opportunity to increase the love of God in our life and allowing it to flow through us. If you want more love, you let it flow through you. You are a channel of God's love. It doesn't stop at you. Oh, Jesus, you love me. But he loves others, and he wants us to show that I and you, we have the love of God for one another. Amen? Peter gets involved here. Good old Peter, who denied Christ. 1 Peter 3:8. Now, this is the goal. How many of you know we need to have a goal? Peter says this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate. I wonder if Paul and Peter got together and planned this message. I don't know about that. But see, this is what God's wanting for the church in this hour. And again, it's just in how we demonstrate a church, but it starts at our home life. Amen? It says, now, this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness toward other believers. Let humility describe who you are. Let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Why is it so important now? Why is this so important? Let me show you something. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, New International Version says, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now I want you to put a picture up of the broken cord. This is what our lives look like when we're not walking in the love of God. This is what our church looks like when we're not operating. We're not strong. I wouldn't want somebody to try to pull me up out of something with this cord, would you? Save me! And that's what the world is asking the church. We need your help! And the church is like this. Because we're bickering and backbiting and fussing and can't get along and just attitudes and issues. I talked to somebody years ago and said, I have an issue. And I want to say, get a tissue and get over it. Get over it. Well, I like it done this way. No, you don't like it done that way. You do it God's way. Well, bless God, I know God's way. What all the scriptures we've been talking about. It's not our way, but we need to be sensitive to everybody around us. Amen? So, I don't want a church like this. We don't need a family like this. Right? You put the whole court up. Hallelujah. We need strength in our members. Hallelujah. See, the strongest chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And let's read that again. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Amen. So that's why we need one another. Amen for that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Peter there, we read this. He says, the goal. We have a goal at Living Word. You should have a goal in our family to live in harmony with one another. You don't always have to be right. You don't always have to have the last word, although my wife says I always try to get it. Come on, how many of you like that? You're just trying to get the last word in. Sometimes it's habitual. We're just used to being like that. Hallelujah. It's probably because of my upbringing. I didn't have anybody to fuss with but myself. And I always had the last word because I was the only child. Glory to God. Husband's wife, we've had to put up with a lot of each other, right? Junk. It's like that in any relationship. And the bigger the family, the more opportunity you have to operate in the love of God and demonstrate. Amen? Affectionate love. Kindness toward another. Let humility describe who you are. I like to put it this way. Let love describe who you are. I want love to describe what Living Word is. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Love of God. I want people when they walk through the door, well, Pastor, it's a great message. No, great worship. Nah. You know what I want to hear? I was just loved. I was just loved. It wasn't the great preaching. It wasn't great worship. But I was just loved. I mean, people hugged me. People valued me when I walked through the door. Glory to God. And, you know, as a church, we have an opportunity to do that next week. Backpack giveaway. We're going to rub shoulders with people that are unchurched. Wait, how many do we have signed up already? 150? Over 160. For backpacks. So second service next week. But we need to be like this all the time. Amen? Experience. Every one of you. Amen. I'm trying to enlist greeters today. And ushers. Because you know what? People see you guys before they see the pastor or even the worship team. And if you love people, don't be satisfied just to, I don't know where this announcement came in, but it's coming in. But we're, talking about demonstrate. You have an opportunity to demonstrate your love to people that walk through the doors. Amen? Hallelujah. We like some of you folks to get signs and go out to the parking lot and greet people. Don't wait for them to get in here. Oh, it's too hot. The weather is too yucky. Hallelujah. Just have a sign that says welcome. We can get something made up. Say you are loved. Just things like that. Just love on them. And then when they walk out, love them again. Give them a double dose of God's love. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you want to sign up for to be an experienced team member, who can we see today? Hallelujah. I don't know who's here that we can see. Praise God. Don't, Diane. Okay, back there. Stand up. Everybody look around. She's our head usherette. Amen. But the experience team, I mean, just you have an opportunity, man. And next week, There's a meeting between services today, right? Okay. For the backpack giveaway. Come and, you know, let that be your first time you serve. You know, get involved doing something and blessing people. Volunteer. If you guys like to cook over a grill, just go out there and anoint those burgers and hot dogs. Just love those things. Just give. You're blessing people. Amen. We've got to demonstrate. If one word sticks to your demonstrate love, how am I going to demonstrate this? How am I going to demonstrate my 1 Corinthians 13? Amen. Hallelujah. It's not by word, but by deed. Amen. Amen? If you can say you love somebody, but if you don't carry it on in the act. You getting anything out of this morning? Yes. All right. Glory to God. Stand with me. I want you to lift up your hands. Praise God. Father, we just thank you right now. Oh, praise you, Lord, for an opportunity, amen, to show our love, even today, even at the end of this service, to just love on one another and just, praise God, be devoted to one another and shore up everybody, glory to God, because we are a tremendous, powerful body here at Living Word, and we just give you thanks for that right now in Jesus' name. And as you have your heads bowed, you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity to receive him. You've got to receive him. It's just not knowing about him. Yeah, I know the Christmas story. I know he was born in a manger, and I know the Easter story. He died, but why did he die? He died for your sin. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you and I, whoever would believe on him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want to lead you in a prayer today. The Bible says if you do two things, if you believe that Jesus died for you, went to the cross, suffered, rose again, amen, and you confess him with your mouth, that means you accept him, you ask him to come into your heart and into your life, you shall be saved. So I want us to pray this prayer together. Will you do it with me, everybody? Heavenly Father, I thank you for an opportunity to receive your son Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that he died for me in my place to forgive me of my sins and to give me right standing with you. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you that I'm born again, I'm a child of God from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen.